Do you ever feel like you're just not in control of your own eating habits? Like, no matter how much you want to eat healthier or get serious about losing weight, there's just always something that's holding you back. And maybe that something isn't even logical or rational, but it's something that feels so much bigger and stronger than you that it's literally impossible to resist. And so you end up in this vicious cycle where you vow to do better and cut back and stay on track, only to find yourself right back at square one, feeling like an utter and complete failure because you just don't have the willpower to stick with it. If that's you, then my friend, this is the episode you're going to want to listen to from start to finish. Because today, just in time for Christmas, we're taking a deep dive into the underlying reasons why we turn to food for comfort and how to overcome emotional eating without simply relying on willpower alone. Welcome to the Feel Better, Live Free podcast brought to you by Thinlicious. I'm your host, Ruth Sukup, and here we'll talk about everything from the science of weight loss to practical tips for making your health a priority in the midst of a busy life. It's a little bit nerdy, a little bit funny, and a little bit revolutionary. So buckle up, friend, because it's about to get real. Hey there, and welcome back to the Feel Better, Live Free podcast, formerly known as the Ditch the Carbs podcast. Once again, my name is Ruth Sukup, and I am the founder of Thinlicious and the Thin Adapted System, as well as the New York Times bestselling author of 7 books. And if this is your first time listening, then you should also know that I am pretty much obsessed with one thing: helping women over 40 create freedom in their lives by transforming your health. I like to think of it as starting a health revolution. And honestly, that's really what this podcast is all about. It's about the freedom to feel your best, the freedom to not be controlled by food addictions ever again, and the freedom to confidently pursue all of your big goals and big dreams because your health and your weight are no longer holding you back. And if that gets you excited, if that's something that you need, then you're probably going to like it here. We like to call ourselves health rebels around here, and we're not afraid to question the status quo or to do it a little differently and to forge our own path. And I know that for many women, maybe even for you, one of the biggest struggles is what I like to call the head stuff, right? The mental and emotional challenges that come with changing your habits for good. Because let's be real, it is not easy, this changing your habits stuff. It is not easy to start a new way of eating that feels so different from what you're used to. It's not easy to say no to foods that you really enjoy or to deal with the social pressure of not eating like everyone else. It's not easy to get to a place where you feel like you're in total control of your own body. And it's not always easy to stick with either, right? When it feels like the world is conspiring against you, when your family isn't on board, or your friends are constantly making snide remarks, or when you've had a really hard day and you just want to comfort yourself with a big bowl of ice cream. And so what you really need to figure out is how to actually get to the root of the problem, how to change the way that you actually think about food and about your body and about your own ability to control your own habits. Because until you can do that, you'll always be stuck in the same old cycle of self-sabotage. And honestly, that's kind of what I want to talk about in today's episode. But before we dive into that, I do just want to say that if you are new to this podcast and to the whole Thinlicious movement, then you should know that I have actually put together a really awesome and totally free on-demand training video called Healthy, Happy, and Free in 2024 that is designed to help you map out a personalized plan for improving your health. It's based on the proven metabolic science that we follow in our program, and it's going to help you understand why everything that you've probably tried until now hasn't actually worked and what you can do differently to get healthy and lose weight without dieting, without drugs, and without making yourself miserable. And again, it's totally free. All you have to do to get it is go to thinlicious.com/video. Once again, that's thinlicious.com/video. So definitely go watch that if you haven't already. If you joined me live a few weeks ago, we had so many people asking for the replay. You can go watch it again. But I know it'll be a big help to you because, like I said, it's totally free. So basically a no-brainer. All right. So now with that out of the way, let's dive into today's topic, which is the problem of emotional eating, why it happens, and how to overcome it. Because the reality is that this is something that affects so many of us, whether we want to admit it or not, right? And honestly, I feel like sometimes it's almost like the elephant in the room with weight loss and healthy eating. It's the thing that no one really wants to talk about, but honestly, it has such a huge impact on our ability to actually see results. So let's just start by talking about what exactly emotional eating is, because the reality is that we all have emotions and we all eat, right? That's not something new. In fact, eating is one of the most basic ways that we tend to celebrate or find comfort or enjoyment in our lives. It's the way that we socialize. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. The problem is that when our emotions start to control our eating habits in a way that isn't healthy or beneficial for our bodies, then that's when it becomes an issue. So what exactly is that issue? Well, at its most basic level, I think emotional eating is in response to feelings rather than hunger, right? That's kind of the basic crux of the issue. It's when you're using food to soothe or manage your emotions or to fill up a void that isn't related to actual hunger or actual need for your body. And so it's when you're turning to food for comfort or as a way to deal with stress or anxiety or sadness or sometimes even happiness. And honestly, that can take a lot of different forms. For some people, emotional eating looks like eating a whole pint of ice cream when you're feeling sad. For other people, it's reaching for chips and salsa or baking a whole tray of cookies. And for others, it's just mindless grazing or snacking that happens when you're bored or lonely or just feeling overwhelmed. But at the root of all of that is the emotional connection that we have to food and to the act of eating and to the way that it makes us feel. And again, it's not all bad, right? There are a lot of good reasons to love food and to enjoy eating. And food is a huge part of our culture and our families and our social lives. It's the way that we get to celebrate and connect with each other and find joy in our lives. But the problem comes when that emotional connection to food starts to take over in a way that's not healthy. So why does that happen? Why do we turn to food for comfort in the first place? Well, like I said, we all have emotions and we all have to eat. So it's not really all that surprising when you think about it that at some point those two things start to intersect. It's kind of like this perfect storm of necessity and desire. But I think it's also really important to understand that it's not necessarily a character flaw on your part. Because you're an emotional eater doesn't mean that you're weak or that you have no willpower or that you're just not trying hard enough, right? In fact, the reason that so many of us struggle with emotional eating is because it actually does serve a purpose. It actually does help us to feel better, at least in the moment. We talked last week about the food addictions, right? And the dopamine that's being triggered. And that's really true. When we're eating these certain foods, especially things that are high in sugar and carbohydrates, it's triggering a release of dopamine in our brains. And dopamine is that feel-good chemical that makes us experience pleasure and happiness. So when we're feeling sad or stressed or overwhelmed, and we eat a whole pint of ice cream or entire bag of chips, it literally, physically, chemically does make us feel better. It literally gives us a temporary high. But the problem with that, of course, is that it's just that. It's temporary. And so then we keep going back for more and more and more in an effort to keep that high going. And then we end up feeling guilty and ashamed, and the cycle just starts all over again. But it's not just the dopamine that makes us turn to food for comfort. There's also the fact that for a lot of us, food is a very big part of the way that we were raised, right? It's the way that our families celebrate, and it's the way that we connect and find joy. And so it's literally hardwired into us from an early age. And then, of course, there's the fact that in the moment, it's actually working. It does make us feel better, even if it's just for a little while. So all that to say, it's not surprising that we turn to food for comfort. It's not something that's wrong with you, right? If you feel like, oh, why am I such an emotional eater? It's a normal, natural reaction. It's just that at some point, we have to recognize that in the long run, it's not actually helping us. And that's because emotional eating, while it may bring temporary relief, actually ends up a lot of times just sabotaging your weight loss efforts in a lot of different ways. So for starters, if you're turning to food for comfort, then chances are pretty good that you're not making the healthiest choices, right? And that's especially true if you are looking for that dopamine hit, if you're hitting the same high carbohydrate, high sugar foods, highly processed foods over and over and over again. But even if you're eating healthier foods, emotional eating can still be a problem. Because when you're eating to soothe your emotions, you're not eating because you're actually hungry or because your body actually needs food. And that means that you're probably eating more than you actually need. And you know, and in our program, we talk a lot about the fact that calories don't matter and we don't count calories as long as you're eating the right things. And that is true, right? To a point, but there is something to be said for not just eating mindlessly and not just eating more food than you actually need. You want to be listening to your body and listening to your body's needs. And then, of course, there's the fact that when you're eating to deal with emotions, you're not really paying attention to what you're eating. You're not savoring the flavors or actually enjoying the experience. It's more about shoveling food into your mouth. And that means that you're not actually giving your brain a chance to register that you're full, which again, makes it hard to listen to your body. And if all of that wasn't enough, emotional eating also tends to happen at the worst possible times, right? It's a lot of times late at night when you're already tired or where you're feeling stressed or overwhelmed. And so not only are you eating more, but you're also eating at times of day where your body should be more in a fasting state, right? Where you want to be allowing your body time to recover and allowing your insulin to regulate. And so instead, your body is having to work to process all those extra calories and all that extra sugar, carbohydrates, or all the things that you're putting in there. And what all of that means is that in the long run, your hormones are going to be out of whack. You're going to gain weight or at least have a really hard time losing it. So if that's the case, then it might be worth asking yourself a few questions like, why does this happen? And why do I keep doing it even when I know it's hurting me? And what can I actually do to change it without just relying on willpower alone? Right? Those are kind of the questions. And so what causes emotional eating? Well, like I said, I think the first step is in understanding what actually causes this to happen. And as I see it, there are a few different factors that all play a role. The first, again, is that food is such a big part of our lives and our culture. It's literally everywhere. It's in every celebration. It's in every holiday. It's a part of every social gathering. It's the way that we've been taught to comfort ourselves and our families for generations. And again, that doesn't have to be a bad thing. There are so many really great and positive aspects to our connection to food, but it also means that it's something that's always there and it's always going to be so readily available. So that's kind of the first thing. But then there's the fact that for a lot of us, our emotional connection to food starts at a very young age. I mean, I don't know about you, but for me, a lot of my best memories from childhood revolve around food. It's hard to think about a good memory without also associating it with some sort of food. And I think that's true for a lot of people. It's what you were given when you got a good grade on a test or when you were feeling sad or lonely or when you were celebrating a special occasion with your family. And so that emotional connection to food is something that gets hardwired into us from a really young age. It's something that's so deeply ingrained in our brains and our hearts that it's literally become a habit. And as we know, breaking habits are hard, right? Because it means you have to actually retrain your brain to think and behave in a different way. But then it's not even just about the emotional connection to food. The reality, again, is that when we eat these certain foods, especially the foods that are high in sugar and carbohydrates and highly processed foods, it's triggering that release of dopamine in our brains. And that's making us experience the pleasure. And then we crave it even more. And it's what triggers that food addiction. So we're feeling sad or stressed or overwhelmed and we're eating all the things and we're getting that temporary high, but it's just temporary. And so then we have to keep going back for more. And sugar, of course, is highly addictive. It's just as addictive as cocaine or heroin. And so we're eating a lot of sugar and triggering those same cravings that addicts are experiencing. And most of those foods are the same foods, right? The same foods that are high in sugar and carbohydrates, those are the same foods that we're associating with all of our good memories. And so it's this perfect storm of all of these different factors coming together, that deep emotional connection to food, the dopamine release, and all the highly addictive properties. And then, of course, there's the fact that so many of us are dealing with a lot of other emotions and stressors in our life that make us way more likely to turn to food for comfort. We have depression, we have anxiety, we have a job that we hate, we have a relationship that's falling apart. Just the stress of raising a family, right? Being a mom to teenagers, let me tell you, there's some emotional eating that happens with that. Trying to keep it all together. And food is the first thing that we tend to turn to. So it's not really all of that surprising that so many of us struggle with this. And if you're struggling with this right now, I think like take comfort in that. It's actually very, it's very normal. And it's almost, it would be almost amazing if most of us weren't emotional eaters, right? If there wasn't emotional eating factors going on for almost every single person out there, because all of this comes together. But the good news is that there is hope for it. And that's because there are a lot of different things that we can actually do to change our behavior and overcome emotional eating once and for all. And it does not have to be about willpower, about trying to white knuckle your way through it. I don't think that willpower works ever, right? The reality is that relying on willpower is never going to work, never in the long run, not even really in the short run. You have to actually change the way that you think and feel about food and about yourself and about your own ability to change your habits. So with that in mind, here are a few tips for how to actually overcome emotional eating and start taking control of your own health and weight loss journey. Tip number one is to start by understanding your triggers. You got to understand what those triggers actually are. What are the things that are causing you to turn to food for comfort, right? Because it's different for every person. So you need to know for yourself, what are the emotions or situations that tend to leave you feeling more vulnerable and more likely to make unhealthy choices? So for a lot of people, these triggers could include things like stress or loneliness or boredom. For others, it might be sadness or anger or frustration. For others, it might be anxiety or even just the need to feel in control, right? There's a lot of food control issues that happen as well. And that's all part of this whole emotional eating thing. But the more that you can start to understand what your triggers are, the better equipped you're going to be to actually deal with them in a healthy and productive way instead of just turning to food. And that's why I think journaling can be such a powerful tool for overcoming emotional eating, because that's going to allow you to actually keep track of your thoughts and feelings in a way that lets you gain a little bit of distance and perspective so you can start to see patterns and start to understand what's actually happening. So if this is a big deal for you, right? If the emotional eating is something that you know you're struggling with and you're not already journaling, I would definitely recommend starting a journal, right? It doesn't have to be anything fancy. Grab a notebook, a blank piece of paper, just start writing down what's coming to mind, but write about how you're feeling or what happened that day or just random thoughts and ideas, and use that as a way to start identifying your triggers so that you can start coming up with strategies for how to deal with them in a healthier way. And that actually brings me to my second tip, which is to find healthier ways to cope with your emotions and stress rather than just turning to food. Because the reality is that food is not actually the problem, right? It's a symptom of the problem. It's the thing that we've been trained and conditioned to use as a way to cope because it's so easy and it's so accessible and it actually does make us feel better, at least in the moment. But there are also a lot of other things that can make us feel better in a more sustainable and healthier way, right? Things like exercise or taking a walk or listening to music or having a mini dance party in your living room or practicing deep breathing or meditation or even just talking to a friend or taking a hot bath. There are literally so many things that you can do to self-soothe, right? To help yourself feel better in a more healthy and productive way. And the more that you can start to identify those things and actually incorporate them into your life, the better off you're going to be. And that's not to say that you have to completely give up all your favorite foods forever and always, right? I don't think that that's the goal. That's certainly not the goal for me. And the goal is to start finding other ways to cope and deal with your emotions that aren't always centered around food. And that's, you know, I talk a lot about freedom and creating freedom in your life and creating freedom from food addictions and creating freedom so that you can look and feel your best. Part of that freedom is having the freedom to also enjoy your favorite things when you want to have that food. That's true freedom, but not being controlled by it. So that means that the next time you find yourself feeling stressed or overwhelmed, instead of reaching for that bag of Doritos or the pint of ice cream, try going for a walk. Try doing a few jumping jacks. Try taking a few deep breaths. There's so many little things that you can do. And if you start to create those habits, I think you might even be surprised at how much better it makes you feel. And being more in control that way, that is actually freedom. So tip number three then is to actually make sure that you're eating enough. And that's a big deal, right? And I think this is something that I really emphasize so much in our program is to make sure that you are actually eating enough food throughout the day to feel satiated. Because a lot of times we will turn to food as a way to cope because we're actually just really hungry, right? And our bodies need nourishment. And this happens so often too when you're on that yo-yo diet cycle. And so you're in this up and down cycle of total deprivation and then you can't handle it anymore. And so you overindulge. Because when we try to restrict our food intake too much or try to stick to a really strict diet that's leaving us feeling totally deprived, it's natural. In fact, we're biologically programmed to then start to crave more food. Our bodies can't not have it, right? That's all we'll think about. Our bodies are just trying to tell us that they need more fuel. So if you're constantly feeling hungry and deprived, maybe you need to start looking at your eating habits and make sure that you're actually giving your body what it needs, right? The nutrients that it needs throughout the day. And maybe you actually need to eat more, but maybe you just need to eat more of the right things, healthy snacks or satisfying meals that are including more protein and more healthy fats, the things that are actually going to satiate you and keep your hormones balanced. And honestly, I think that's probably the one thing that makes our TAS program so effective and why we probably have such a high success rate. I think it's like a 92% success rate. It's because there's no deprivation. There's no counting calories like ever. It's just eating the right foods that are going to balance your hormones in the right way. But you can eat as much as you want or as much as you need to without having any guilt. And that's pretty huge. So that really is something that you have to think about, right? Make sure that you're actually eating enough. Otherwise, you're always going to be prone. You're always going to be susceptible to overindulging and the emotional eating. And then last but not least, be kind to yourself. This is so huge because overcoming any sort of food issues, right? Whether it's food addiction or emotional eating or anything else, and they all kind of play on each other. It's not easy. And there's always going to be setbacks along the way. But it's always about progress and not perfection. So remind yourself of that all the time. No matter how far you've come or how many setbacks you have, remember that you are doing the best that you can, and that is all anyone can ask for. Don't expect perfection of yourself. And when those moments do happen, right, that you find yourself turning to food for comfort, instead of beating yourself up about it, just show yourself some kindness and understanding. Acknowledge the feelings. Acknowledge it and then move on. Don't let one slip up be the end of you. Get rid of the black and white thinking. Don't let one slip up derail your entire journey. Because in the end, you're not defined by your eating habits. You're so much more than that. So keep going, keep trying, and be kind to yourself along the way. Because ultimately, that is how you will find success in all areas of your life, by showing yourself love and compassion, even in the hardest moments. Okay, guys, I think that about brings me to the end, but the reality is that emotional eating is a very common struggle for so many people. And so remember, you're not alone, but by understanding your triggers and finding healthier ways to cope with emotions and ensuring that you're eating enough and being kind to yourself, you can start to overcome this challenge and start building a healthier relationship with food. Just know that Rome was not built in a day, right? It takes time and effort. You didn't get to where you are right now overnight. And healing your body from the inside out, fixing the problems, overcoming emotional eating, overcoming food addictions, right? None of that is going to happen overnight either. I say this all the time. Big goals never happen all at once. They are only the result of small steps taken consistently over time. But it's persistence and self-compassion that can help you make that progress towards a healthier you. So keep going and never give up. You are capable of this. You are capable of overcoming emotional eating. You are capable of reaching your health goals. I know you are. I have seen it over and over and over again. And you are capable of creating freedom in your life. So trust in your journey and trust in yourself. All right, guys, you got this. That is it for today. Thank you so much for joining me. If you found this episode helpful, if you know anybody who struggles with emotional eating and you want to pass this on, feel free to share the link. Help me start this health revolution, guys. I really do believe that we can change the world by helping women transform their health. There's nothing more important. And I am so committed to this cause. I hope that you are too. If you are not already subscribing to this podcast, be sure to subscribe or follow on iTunes or Spotify, wherever you like to listen. And I will see you soon for our next episode.